Welcome to Conversations with Achievers. I'm your host, Robert White. I'm a mentor to owners, executives, and their teams, and CEO of Extraordinary People, LLC. I work with people that want to create extraordinary business performance with less stress, more joy, and more personal fulfillment. So sit back, relax, and prepare to learn from your peers as we explore what it takes in terms of attitudes, habits, and behaviors that achieve extraordinary results. Results for yourself, for your family, and your community. Hello, Robert White here, and welcome to Conversations with Achievers. One of the supposed diseases of entrepreneurism is we like to do a lot of different things. I'm one of those people. I'm, you could say easily distracted, or you could say, make up something like I'm motivated in a lot of different directions. And our guest today is Tim Schafer. Tim, I think right now probably his main game is around getting a much better price on tires, something very, very important in our mobile nation. And we'll have him tell you more about that later. But Tim, welcome to Conversations with Achievers. Let's find out about all of the different things, different places, different ways you're aiming your rather considerable energy.
Great to be on, Robert. I really appreciate the time.
Well, it's my great pleasure. And, you know, our goal here is to add some knowledge to people that are like you and me running companies. That's our primary audience. It's a time of chaos, and I was reminded this week that every year I choose a word that I kind of pay more attention to or have greater awareness around. And my word this year is resilience. And the resilience is aimed at dealing with the chaos that I see around me and also in my own organization and in my own work and in my own personal life. Resilience just felt right for me for the year. How about you? What are you focused on?
Well, resilience is a good way of putting one thing. And you know, as far as searchtires.com goes, we've had to be resilient. We spun up an earlier model of this that came out in like 2012, 2013. And basically the way that we had positioned it in the niche then, it basically failed. And I don't like to use that word lightly, but it's because I believe as an entrepreneur, there's no failures. It's just you learned a way not to do it. So we've had to be resilient over the years. We built up other marketing companies, and then we revisited it because we knew it was a good idea. It was a little early for it. And, you know, sometimes it just doesn't line up in the cards for launching a business. I know to entrepreneurs, they'll kind of get it. We don't like to admit it, but sometimes there's always the right time, right place to launch stuff. And that was definitely not it. So we had to learn, take our lumps and move on. Do something else, and then we revisited it, and this has been a huge success once we've come back and learned different ways of approaching it.
You know, that's an attitude that'll take you a long way in my experience. I find myself resisting a bit to all of the whatever the new jargon of the day is, you know, that like everybody's talking about it, somebody writes a book and somebody else does a video and, you know, stuff like that. But one word that I think has become really part of our entrepreneurial lexicon is pivot. You know, that ability, first of all, with an attitude that, hey, okay, that didn't work. Let's try something different. But more than that, a pivot in marketing strategy or a pivot in product selection, you know, what you're really emphasizing, all that stuff. It's really been a time for pivots. Sounds like you had a big one.
Yes. We've learned our lessons. I mean, I think as an entrepreneur, I think most people that listen to your show will know that we really have to have pretty thick skin because we're going to get beat up a little bit. And not saying it's a bad thing. I've always said you got to be open to instruction. And if you can't take constructive criticism, then you're probably not in the right field. When we initially started up, I wanted to try to please two things, consumers and the retailers. I wanted to get people back in the brick and mortars in their communities, you know, and great idea, great concept. We're doing the same thing now, just in a different way. We're trying to please too. And now we figured out that we're just going to go to the consumers. It's a free product. They use it. They find the best prices. They go get their tires put on. And it's that simple. And saying that is saying this, the byproduct will be the retailers will come to us. We don't have to try to get both at the same time. So that's that, In the beginning, it's funny how you fire things up and you think, oh, it makes sense. It's going to work. People loved it. I mean, everything was great. We were on publications, all kinds of stuff, and it didn't stick. And it's tough to walk away, like I said, but when you learn that, you have to stay in that true one lane, take care of the consumers, you take care of the consumers and you have them, then the byproduct is the other stuff that comes along with it. So
Tim, that's wisdom. That's hard-earned wisdom, I would
you
add.
got that
In some versions of my bio, it reveals that I've spent 23 years of my life living abroad, and about half of that in Japan. And at one point in my consulting business, I had a partner, a Japanese partner, a really wonderful man named Koichi Shimazu. Shimazu was a walking fountain of Asian sayings from Confucius, from Lao Tzu, from famous Japanese samurai generals, and people like that. And the one that he used on me most often in trying to rein me in was, "The man who chases two rabbits catches none." And I've discovered that in marketing, that that kind of a focus that you talked about, of this is our lane and we're in it and we're going to be the best at it, that that's where that leads to. That tends to work better than trying a lot of different things.
To me it's all about the product and the product working efficiently, and like I said, everything else is a byproduct. But in what you're saying is the biggest truth there is like, as entrepreneurs, it's tough for us because we see so many things out there when we're out there. That's one of my things, is find your North Star. We've seen so many things that we can make better, and we believe it in our heads, and we probably can do a good job. But when you're younger, you figure this out. When I was younger, I figured it out. I was trying to jump in all these boxes. And I always tell people now that, everyone talks about Elon Musk and he has all these companies and stuff. Yeah, but you know what? He would have never had any of that if he didn't succeed and won first. And it was a big win. But if you don't have the one, then no one's going to instill their trust into you. So if there's any advice I would give to entrepreneurs out there, is stay in your lane, build the best product you can do, and take care, solve a problem that needs to be solved. And if you can do that, or create a product, whatever it is, just concentrate on just that, and don't get thrown off by valuations and these people market share, and I want 1% of the market. You get all in these mumbo jumbo things, and it's like, that's not real. I mean, just keep your head down and keep doing it. And I promise you, if you can do that and you have the patience to do it, because there's, I heard a saying from many entrepreneurs. Everybody says, you're an overnight success. And it's like, yeah, I'm a 10-year overnight success because I've been working on it for 10 years. But oh, everyone only sees that last year. And then they're like,
Yes.
whoa, wow, you come out of nowhere. And I'm like, I've been doing this for 10 years. So,
Yeah, Tim Schafer must be a genius because he figured this out.
exactly. Exactly.
That expression from my childhood, somebody, I don't recall who put this into me, but getting slapped upside the head. And noticing it. And noticing that, hey, that's feedback. The market's telling me something. The customers are telling me something here. That's a difficult one to learn when you're all filled with passion about an idea. And I went to a former client and a friend's event last week. He was honored because he built an investment club, not a company. There's no direct profit in it for him, but he built it from seven members to 750 members. And that group are the biggest single donors to charitable organizations in the state of Colorado, and among other things. But they've made a lot of money. But one of the things that I was noticing was that his previous thing was he built a company called CareerTrack, which is predates you. You're too young to know about CareerTrack, but it was the largest seller of one-day seminars in the world, and he sold it in his late 30s for a lot of money. He and a partner split a big check, and he said that one of the things that he learned o over time was, when he was running that company, at one point there were all of these best-selling books came out, And he contracted with the author or the publisher or somebody to brand some of his offerings with the names of those books. And when I heard about it, I thought, well, oh, that's really great. That's exciting. That's going to give you a visibility. And people are going to want to go to a one-day seminar about, in effect, about that book. And about 3 months later, we sat down for one of our regular luncheons. And I asked him about it. He's looking at the menu. He didn't even look up. He said, "Oh, we canceled all of that." And I was just shocked. I thought it was such a great idea. And again, without looking up the menu, I said, "Why?" He said, "The numbers weren't right." Next subject. Next subject.
And I'll tell you something similar, kind of similar in the same vein. When we were building the original product, we had a very high profile CTO in it. We had our weekly meetings and team meetings, and I used to keep saying, well, I want this, I want this, and this is the way, because I'm a tire industry professional and I know what it needs to have, right? I know. And we get into this third meeting, and he's pretty high profile, and he goes, hey, Tim, no disrespect, but no one cares what you're saying right now. I mean, you have this vision, we believe in it, we're on your team. However, what we do is we put it out there and we test it, and the consumer tells us what they want, and then that's what we do. So these are great ideas, but never be on a call and say, I know, I know, I know, because the only one who knows is when you put it out there and you test it in the market, they'll tell you what they want. And that's when you start building and growing, is when you listen to what that is. So.
Have you had a mentor, a coach, or a voice in your life that helps cool you off on some things like that and remind you about staying in that lane?
Yeah, interestingly enough, I've been very lucky, because I think the big thing with the way it is today is I think there's not enough mentorship. When I was lucky enough, when I was young, when I was like 22, and I'd already had success in a small garage that I built, but I took it from 1,500 square feet to 7,500 square feet, and it was a mammoth, and I was 22, and I had a good exit, but I thought it was a good exit, which it was for what it was. And then I was fortunate enough to have two really good mentors in my life at that time. And then as it goes on, I probably have five mentors that I can bounce stuff off right now. And I always tell people this, and I'm sure people have heard this, but it's always true to me, is I never say I'm the smartest person in the room, and I don't want to be in a room where I'm the smartest person. I want to be in the room where I can learn. And when I say that, I don't just mean just in like one niche. I mean, because I could be smart in one thing, but you want to surround yourself with people in different things. And that's how I constantly learn and stay on top of things, is I reach out for feedback from all these people, because it's great to get all that feedback and put it together and try to put your wraps on it. But as open mentors, it's a phone call. I mean, and I think a lot of people don't have that guidance. And the other thing that they don't have is they don't have someone that's willing to tell them the truth. You can't go to your friends, you have to go to someone that could be objective and say, hey, I know you love it. However, these are some downfalls to it, and this is what could happen. Because as an entrepreneur, you know, when you think of it and you're passionate about it, you sometimes you blur out that, and it's good to have that come back in. And sometimes it hurts, but that's what needs to be done if you want to really be in your lane and build the best product.
I think our listeners and me personally would be wise to follow that counsel. I've been inconsistent with that personally. It's some, I made a promise to a friend years ago that we, both of us, promise each other that we would, to the greatest degree possible, live a life of no regrets. That and make better choices in our lives. And to a large degree, I think I followed that, and unfortunately he died, but he did the same the last 10 years of his life, and so I really saw the value in it. One regret that I've had is that I haven't been consistent in terms of mentors. I mean, I'm really pleased that I have a few people around me today that'll call me on my bullshit, and rein
It's
me
nice to
in.
have that.
Yes. Years ago, I spent a month. I was being recruited to be the CEO of a company called EST, EST, They became famous in my field in experiential learning. It's now called Landmark. I think it's the largest company of its type in the world today. But the guy that founded it was trying to get me to be the CEO, and I knew intuitively I should not do it. But he's a very good salesman, and so so he convinced me to come in and be a consultant for 1 month, and I did that. And one of the things that I learned from him was that he used an expression at several times with people that I didn't understand. So I asked him about it privately. The expression was, "I'm not a guy in a diner." I thought, "What does that mean?" And he explained that, it's late at night, you've been out drinking, having a good time with the guys, and it's time to go home, but you really need something to settle your stomach. You should eat something. So you go to one of these all-night diners, with the long row of the long counter and the stools, and you sit down next to somebody, and that person is an expert on everything. Talk politics, he knows everything. Talk economics, he talk baseball, he's got the sports, he's got the statistics, right? And he's about a mile wide and an inch deep. And this guy, Werner Erhard, his statement was that on many, many, many subjects, he said, "I'm a mile wide and an inch deep, but in certain areas, I actually know, from my life experience." And he said, I'm willing to put that out there with some confidence and follow my own advice, but also to realize that not everybody's an expert in that area, and I am. To know when to listen to somebody and when not to. And that's where "I'm not a guy in a diner" came from. And I've thought about that a lot. There's so many things I don't know anything about, and I want to surround myself with people that do know. I'll listen to them in their areas of expertise. Sounds like your CTO back then was one of those people, and willing to confront the boss.
So that's one of the big things with my team now. My team has grown. We just had a big team meeting, and I believe in hiring the best person that is possible for me to get. I want to hire the best people to have them around me. And when we have our calls, it's collaborative. I mean, I have ideas. My job as an entrepreneur, I believe, is to lay out my vision. And their job is to try to deliver the best product we can get for that vision. And so it's very open. And there's some things I'll even today. Hey, no, we need this. We need to do that. And they're like, no, I know you want that, but that doesn't work. And if it does, it works like this. And I'm so appreciative to have that on my team because I want that feedback. I want someone to call me now because if they build it and it doesn't work and then we have to redo it, then we lost that time. And I'll add one other thing to your story. I was listening and it profoundly hit me. Is one of the one and I'm sure a lot of entrepreneurs have had this in their life. And I'm just gonna throw a piece of advice out there that really hurt me for about 3 years. The worst thing you can do as an entrepreneur is chase money. I took a deal once. I thought it was the best thing since sliced bread. And 1 month into that deal, I'm like, oh my God, I made the biggest mistake. And unwinding that deal cost me 3 years of my life of something else that I've lost an opportunity on. However, again, it's not a loss because it's a learning opportunity of how these salesmen of some of these big PEs, VCs, and I won't say exactly what it was, but they can convince you to do things. And then what they tell you is not exactly what's on paper. And then you have to try to unwind that. So stay true to you and make sure you read everything because
Wow.
the details are the devil's in the details. I can tell you that.
You and I could talk for many more hours, but our time limit has come. Tim, what request do you have of my listeners, and how could they be in touch with you?
Well, I can tell you this, if anybody is looking for tires, which is everybody needs tires at some point, you go to searchtires.com. It's a great site. You put in your year, make, and model or your size. Just hit search. It'll show you all your local retailers and it shows you the prices out the door, mounted, balance, tax, disposal. You can choose one, two, three. You can choose your retailers. Click to call, click for directions or click to call, click for directions, or click to their website to make an appointment. All we do is try to be a tire matchmaker. And we just want to get you the best deal. We don't, there's no charge for anything. We're not collecting anything. We just want to get you the best, pass you on to the retailers. Because why I say that, I say this. I've been in brick and mortar for a long time, and And I like the retail stores, and there's a lot of these e-tailers that started selling these tires online. And what they're doing is they're selling the tires to the people, but they're sending them to the stores and making them turning them into installers. And I guess there's a place for everything, and I don't want to bash anyone. I'm just saying the people that are in communities and they're employing people in the communities and they're supporting Little League baseball teams, I want them to get the whole deal. If you can get, if you don't have to order them and wait 3 days, if you have tires in stock, they can go today and get them put on and do that and help your community and help your Little League teams. And you know, I'm originally from the Midwest and I moved to Florida when I was 15 and I still have the Midwestern values. And I'll just say this, I want people to get the best deal, save the money. In these day and ages, you need to save every penny you can get. And some of our tire prices are, we save our average customer $111 on a set of four tires. And some of them are up to $300 for the same tire that they get from one place to another. So that's what we're trying to do. That's what we're passionate about. And you can get me at searchtires.com. There's a place at the bottom. You can click on it and it'll send the emails come to me. They don't go to anybody else. They come to me. I read every email I get. So I'm passionate about that. And it shows through when I talk about it and I run on about it. But I love the platform we've built and I love inspiring brick and mortar communities. And I'll put all that together. It's for a good cause.
Tim, thank you so much. You shared a lot of wisdom with our audience today, and I appreciate it very much. I'd love to find something to do with you. I'm about as far away from, first of all, geographically, but more than that, I'm a long way from tires and cars and all those things that require actual physical effort. But look, if there's anything I can do for you, I'd love to do it. I'd love to spend several more hours with you. Maybe we should do this again sometime.
Oh, absolutely. I'd be definitely open to it. I love talking about the entrepreneurship roller coaster and all the things we've lived because a lot of us have experienced the same things.
SearchTires.com. That's how you get in touch. Tim, thanks again.
Thanks, Robert. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks so much for joining us for Conversations with Achievers. If you or someone you know would make a good guest for this weekly show, the details are at therobertwhite.com and click on podcasts. I'm looking for businessmen and women with a story to tell. Stories that might benefit other owners and executives. If you got some value from this program, I'd really appreciate you sharing about it on social media and just mentioned www.therobertwhite.com/podcast. Of course, subscribing means you won't miss a show, and rating the podcast positively will leave Robert smiling. I'm building a movement here for leaders. Leaders who want to succeed in business, succeed with their families, have fun, and contribute toward making the world a better place. It's special to me that you chose to listen. I look forward to connecting again next week. Remember, reach out to me anytime with any questions or concerns at therobertwhite.com. Bye for now.